Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then 11 through 32. This is the parable of the lost sheep. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, the parable of the prodigal and his brother. And then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my farmer's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found.'"
A holy word for God's holy people. Thanks be to God. Friends, hello, and thank you so much for having me. Again, my name is Bailey Bronner. I use she, her pronouns. I am a resident of Sara Mesa here in San Diego. I live there with my fiance, Danny, and who is a recovering Catholic, another fun part of our story together. And I am a former pastor. I was the senior pastor at Mission Hills United Methodist Church up until the end of 2021. So I see some familiar faces and know a lot about this church and the people here, even though I've never been here before. So thank you so much for having me. And it's a privilege to be able to share in this worship service with you all and to share a message with this story in particular. I didn't put this in the message, but to give you all a little bit of backstory, I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska. That's where I was born and raised, and ended up pastoring a Methodist church in rural Alaska, two Methodist churches actually, and decided one day that I needed to find some sun, and ended up here in San Diego. I got very lucky, and I've been at Mission Hills, was there for about 3 years through the pandemic and all of that up until the end of 2021. At that point, I decided that my call to ministry had become more clear and caused me to leave the church, which is quite an interesting turn of events, but here we are. And Pastor Lori said, God never left, and that is true for my story as well. And so now I get to kind of retire that hat of professional Christian, and instead I get to make videos on the internet, on TikTok, if you know what it is. Wonderful. If you don't explore it anymore. It's a waste of your time. But it essentially, it's a social media app where you get to make short little videos about things that you find funny or fascinating or important. And so I get to tell a group of about 85,000 people that they are loved by God, and that no matter their gender or sexuality, that God is with them. And so this story in particular of the prodigal son is very fitting to my call and the ways that I experience God. So let's dig into it. That's enough about my story. This passage that was just read for us is often referred to as the prodigal son. And as you've heard multiple times throughout this service, this word prodigal is something that was seen to mean set apart in some way, or important even, right? But in reality, what prodigal means is wasteful and irresponsible and self-indulgent at the same time. That's the kind of action that we see embodied in this story. The younger son goes to his dad, and he demands his inheritance. And not just money. The son asking for his inheritance was basically the same thing as saying that he wanted his father dead. That's what asking for inheritance meant at the time. The father gives him the money and the son leaves. He wants to travel. He wants to see the world. He wants to try new things. And he thought the best way to have those new experiences would be to leave home. It's this common storyline that we see even today. People physically leave all the time. How many of you have left a physical place in your life? Whether it's moved from one home to another, moved states, moved countries, moved rooms in your house perhaps, right? All of us have this common experience. It's nothing that is new. We need a fresh start sometimes. We need to explore. Our current home is too much of this or too much of that. And so this younger son leaves in this relatable way that we've experienced as well. And we can think about it like maybe one of our kids or friends or grandkids goes off to college, needs a new fresh start, wants to learn something new about the world. And when we leave, we have adventures and we can gather with new groups of people. And so this son leaves and he sees his own world get bigger. He tries lots of new things. He also spends a lot of money, we read. Another way that this college kid storyline works out, right? Too much money he spends, and he becomes broke, our story tells us. He got himself a job feeding pigs, which is something that is really not that attractive, right, as a job, even though it was technically a job. And actually, for Jewish people, for this Jewish boy, being in a pig pen and eating the pods that were that the pigs ate is a true sign that he has hit rock bottom in his world, because for Jews, pigs were seen as unclean. And beyond that, this son couldn't even make enough for food. In a moment of hunger and desperation, not because he wanted to, but because he had to, the younger son had a moment where he realized that he had to go home, and that going home wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Things weren't really that bad there, after all. I remember being in graduate school in Boston, and the dorms that I was staying in were closing for 2 weeks over Christmas break, and the last thing that I wanted to do was fly all the way across the country back to Alaska. But because I had to, I said, you know what, I'm going to make the best of this and go home for those 2 weeks. And so what this son did was realize that things weren't really that bad back at home. And so he swallowed his pride big time, and he made this plan. He wanted to compromise with his dad, who was back home where he was headed, and saying that he didn't deserve to be called his son, but hopefully he could convince his dad to hire him to work for him, because then at least he would have something to eat. The thing that strikes me the most about this part of the story is that the entirety of this conversation, the parable, and especially the piece after the conflict itself, is taking place internally. The younger son is negotiating not with his dad, but with himself. He's making these assumptions about what his dad is going to say. He's putting himself down and devaluing his own worth and his identity, all because he wanted to explore. He wanted to see what the rest of the world had in store for him. He wanted to take a chance on his own life. What I find striking is that nobody here is referring to him as the prodigal son. Nobody is calling him irresponsible or selfish. That is happening in his internal monologue. He thinks he knows how his dad is going to react. And he puts himself down, he punishes himself, and essentially condemns himself before this interaction with his dad even takes place. How many of you all have had a similar experience? Maybe where you're expecting this worst-case scenario outcome, and you kind of get yourself all hyped up and ready for this thing to go not as you had hoped, but then you turn around and it happens just okay. Those bad things don't actually happen after all. They were just all in your head. The younger son, he swallowed his pride because he thought that he was done. He said, at this point, I will be lucky if I can work for my dad, because surely he'll want to disown me for what I have done. And when he made his way home, his dad didn't even acknowledge his apology, his pleading, his self-labeled worthiness or unworthiness. His dad instead turned around and immediately embraced him and adorned him with this robe and sandals and a ring. And he ordered a party to be thrown in his honor, this extravagant party just for him. Now, I want you to consider being in the dad's position. Imagine you as the father or the parent. Your surprise when this son of yours had gone away to go explore this thing that he thought would be so much better than the life that his dad raised him to live in. And then you thought he was gone forever, maybe. But when you look out into the distance, up walks your child. And he seems okay. He seems safe. And most importantly, he is back home. Your child has been found. And that is what the most important thing is for you as a parent. Of course you're going to throw him a party, right? And so when we shift our perspectives, and that's one of the beautiful things that Scripture allows us to do, we can notice that the son's belovedness was never in question. And in fact, his searching and his seeking led him to this realization of just how appreciated he is. When we feel lost, perhaps we're not lost after all. Perhaps we're trying to experience this new life for ourselves. And perhaps the people around us will celebrate us for that. As the dad and the son were celebrating, we're introduced to the second son in the story, the older child. And we had heard about him at the very beginning of the scripture, but he's being mentioned for the first time now in the last few verses of our parable. This son is upset because his dad doesn't seem to give him the attention that he was giving his brother. If you've had a sibling, you can probably relate very directly to this brother. When one person gets the kind of attention that you want, it suddenly becomes me against them. And so this angry older brother confronts his parent about it, asking for attention in this really raw kind of way. He's asking why he has never gotten a party like this, like his little brother got. But what he's really asking has nothing to do with the party, right? What he's really asking is, why do I not get loved in the same way that my brother does? At my house, we have 4 animals, which is not a lot until you think of how many paws that is. That's 16 paws. We are severely outnumbered. We have 2 cats and 2 dogs. And recently, my fiance and I had to come up with a schedule, and we wrote it down on this board, and it says, who is sleeping with us in the bedroom? Because all 4 can't sleep with us at once. And so on certain days, the cats sleep with us. On certain days, the dogs sleep with us. On certain one special night of the week, there's a spotlight night where one animal gets their own undivided attention from their moms. Which seems silly to think about, right? To have to build this calendar for affection with your animals at night. But for us, it reminds us that each of our animals has different needs, and we need to make sure that we're giving them the kind of attention that they need so that they feel loved and cared for, even though it's not in the same way as their siblings. So our older cat, Taylor, she likes to be left alone, and that's the way we can love her best, right? Make sure her brothers are not in the room with her, give her treats every once in a while, and just kind of let her be. Our little dog, Riley, a little golden doodle, he needs to be at our hip 24/7, and that's the way we can love him the best. And so in the same way, these 2 brothers are kind of encountering that scenario, and there's some jealousy happening from the one brother, asking why he never got the party. And why he doesn't get loved in the same way that his brother does. What the father does is respond with reassurance and genuine love. He looks at him and he says that his brother needed love in a different way. And that part was true. He did need love in a different way at that time. But he was with him. The parent was with him the whole time. Friends, God says the same thing to us. God looks at us when we felt abandoned or alone and looks us in the eyes and says to us, I have been here for you the whole time. I have been here with you this whole time. God has made each one of us beloved and worthy and good no matter what we do. No matter what we do not do, no matter how often we yearn for adventure, no matter how many times we move across the country to discover if something might be better out there for us, no matter when we made the last mistake, we are that younger son, but in no way are we or the younger son needing to bear the cross of prodigal any longer. And so as we reflect back on this story and the characters in it, we can learn that it turns out that being lost and being found aren't all that matters. It's not a binary. We're not simply lost or found or dead or alive or here or gone. This parable teaches us about nuance in a way that's powerful and important for us to see the fullness of God at work in our lives. God reveals God's role in each piece of this story as the sense of adventure in part 1, the trying new things and taking risks. God shows up as the father, the loving parent in the second part, worried as parents are, but also ready to celebrate the homecoming of their beloved child. And God reveals the breadth of welcome to the older brother in our last section, as that brother wondered how he fit in the celebration that was ensuing. While God's role looks differently in each piece, while the parent loves their child differently in each sort of chapter of our story, God reminds us that God was there the whole time, and God continues to be here with us the whole time. God gives us permission to wonder, to doubt, to question, to explore. And God surprises us by calling us good and lovely and loved, even when we don't think we deserve it, even when our internal monologues are convinced that God will disown us or mistreat us for behaving a certain way. God surprises us and continues to call us good. God reassures us that each and every one of us are invited and celebrated and are welcomed home. We may not and will not ever grasp the fullness of God at work, but our story today, the parable known as the prodigal son, this parable allows us to see ourselves in new ways, to be open to God's perspective and being known by God. As each one of us, even here today, listen to this story, to the different parts of this parable, each of us probably noticed some different things. And if I were at Mission Hills in the congregation, I would ask you all to shout them out, which they hated, so I won't ask you all to do it. But like, I'm just going to pretend that you all are giving me some feedback, which is fine. But each of us brought our own perspective to the story, right? So maybe you, as a younger sibling, are really resonating with the younger brother in the story. Maybe you, as a parent, struggling with your children's kind of like new identities and freedom in life. Maybe you're struggling with that and resonated with the parent more today. But each of us brought our own perspective to the story. And each of us experienced the text in different and new ways. The fullness of God is what allowed us to do that. The fullness of God allows for us to continue to do that, to wrestle with this big thing called God that each one of us knows intimately and uniquely at the same time. And still, at the end of the day, we can read that same story. All of us are reading from that same book. We can sit among our siblings here in this space and throughout the world, and pray the same prayers and sing the same hymns, all to worship the same God. This parable reminds us that God is with us the whole time, giving us what we need, even if it's different from what your neighbor needs. This God that we know has created each of us from love to be in relationship, that is, to relate to our fellow humans. I invite us to remember that. May we remember that the parables that we read reflect the fullness of God, which means it must also reflect the fullness of us too. May we see ourselves in the stories, their highs, their lows, the joyous parts and the ones that are tougher to identify with. And may we remember that each of us have moments of being lost and being found, like the sons, like the father, and like so many others. But God wants us to know, through this story, that most importantly, God has been with us the whole time, and God will continue to be with you the whole time. Let us pray. God of hope and resurrection, you find us all in the moments of life that encompass our every being. We give you thanks for your persistence, your integrity, your sense of humor, and your compassion. Allow us to see the fullness of you in our words and in our works. God, the Creator, revealed to us on earth by Jesus, and refreshed by water through the Holy Spirit. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin or on the screen. We believe in a God who waits in the driveway for us. We believe in a God who leaves the porch light on and throws a feast when we are found. We believe in a God who doesn't stop looking for us when we get lost. We believe in a God of prodigal grace, excessive, extravagant, over-the-top grace. In response to this grace, we hold tighter to each other. We remember that humans are not meant to go through life alone. So we look for ways to welcome each other in, to live like a family, and to lead with grace. Excessive, extravagant, over-the-top grace. We believe that this is our call. Let it be so. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Loving and gracious and almighty God, we come to you as individuals and as a community and as a world, knowing that we are both lost and found all at the same time. We know that we abide in the abundance of your love, and that your love never leaves us. It is with that knowledge that we can come to you with humble and gentle and seeking hearts, knowing that you hear us, that you receive us, that you respond to us with an over-the-top grace. We come with our prayers of thanksgiving and concern. We lift up prayers for so much that is meaningful and joyful in our lives. We are so grateful. And we know that you also hear our prayers of deep concern for loved ones in our lives who are struggling in body or soul or spirit, for our communities, and for our world. We continue to lift up prayers for peace and for the end of the war in Ukraine. We pray prayers of protection for those who are so profoundly in harm's way. We lift up our own sense of helplessness and ask that you would guide us to words and deeds that are meaningful and of consequence, and that communicate your belovedness, your presence, your care for each person who is in harm's way. Oh God, there are times when we wander in life. We move about, we seek and we follow, and there are times when we feel lost. Remind us that it is all a part of the journey, and that you never abandon us, that you never leave us. Forgive us for the times when our own internal dialogues become louder than your voice of love in our lives. Forgive us when we forget how profoundly we are loved, how profoundly our neighbors are loved, each one around us. Draw us home again and again, and remind us that our belovedness is never in question, no matter what, and that you make a space of care and belonging for each one. We thank you, and we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.